Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, so in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Elder Chisenga, who's going to be speaking to us about what it means to be a godly man. And the Elder joins us on the line right now. My Elder, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Morning, and how are you?
I'm doing very well. And how are you doing this happy new year?
Oh, I'm just doing fine. And it's a blessing that I'm in the new year.
Amen. Amen. Indeed, a great blessing it is, and one we don't take for granted. Thank you so much, Elder, for joining us this morning. And we look forward to an interesting conversation that we will be having about what it means to be a godly man. And of course, listeners, you are invited to join us in this conversation by sharing your own thoughts and your own opinions on the subject by sending us a text message on +27734703520. Now, in this world that we live in, we know that there's so many shifting definitions of manhood. Like I said, if you just take some time on social media, you'll see so many different definitions and expectations of what manhood means. And so what does it mean to be a godly man? Is it about strength? Is it about leadership, humility? Spoiler alert, it's about all of the above and more. And being a godly man means aligning yourself with God's purpose and embracing responsibility, leading with integrity and faith. But we're going to break down this calling with my Elder here and discover how to live it out daily. So young men, gather around. Let's get into this conversation. My Elder, tell us, how does the Bible define a godly man? And how does that differ from, you know, cultural definitions of what masculinity is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you for that question. Really, it's an interesting topic which we are going to have with the demarcations which we have in the world of how they define human beings and the like.
Yeah.
Well, like the word says, godly man, it simply means it must be associated with something to deal with God and the like. And just to bring it forward, when we talk about man in the biblical sense, we don't mean male, but we mean both male and female. So it means everyone who must benefit from this, be it male, be it female, and the like. Right. Well, from the biblical perspective, the Bible defines a godly man as one who fears the Lord, mm-hmm. one who walks in his ways, and one who keeps his commandments. You can check out Psalms 128, verse 1, where the Bible says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." Mm-hmm. So according to how God looks at a man, you are not a man if you do not fear God. Mm. You are not a man if you do not walk in his way and if you do not keep his commandment. Then you are just any other human being. So it means we must strive to move from a definition, just you being defined as a man because you have muscles, because you have all those biological features, but it has to deal with something about character. How do you perceive God? How do you walk with God? Yeah, that basically is how God looks at who a man is from the biblical perspective.
Beautiful. I love that. And definitely when we're looking at the world around us, and like I was saying earlier, when you look at social media, a lot of times that is, that's not even a factor that is considered when people are defining what they think it means to be a man. To be a man means fear God. And I love that because that already covers so many things. It covers the way that you relate to other people, the way you relate to those who are weaker than you, who are more vulnerable than you. So I really like that. Now, what would you say are some of the essential characteristics of a godly man, and how can they be cultivated?
There are so many things we can look at about how we can be able to identify who a godly man is. Mm-hmm. But I'll spot out just five of them, and the rest, God will help us as we continue to study his word.
All right.
The first one is humility. We live in a world filled with competition, a world which is filled with people putting themselves on a spot where they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But a godly man must embrace humility. And how is this cultivated? It is by recognizing your limitations, and then you must also recognize your dependence on God.
Mm.
And this, when you stress throughout scripture, you find Proverbs 22 verse 4, it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So according to God, a godly man, for him to continue to have life and for him to continue to have honor, it takes him to have humility. That's the first thing,
mm-hmm.
which is recognizing your limitations, to say, here's where I'm ending and here God is where he's beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's humility. The second one is integrity. We know that the world we live in, it's very hard to trust people because we get betrayed by family, by friends, even the very people who we least expected them to betray us.
Yeah.
But a godly man, because he fears God, he lives a life of moral uprightness and honesty.
Yeah.
And that is integrity.
Yeah.
Morally, you are upright and you are also honest. You can check out even in Proverbs 10. Verse 9, which states, he who walks with integrity walks surely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. And it's interesting that the becoming known is that he won't be known by his integrity, but his lack of integrity is what will make him become known.
Yes.
But that shouldn't be about a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third one is responsibility. We've heard of people who have run away from their families. We've seen people who have even, they have children and they've just thrown the child in garbage or maybe in sewer and the child dies.
Eish.
And you're like, is this how people should be? But here we are getting the aspect of responsibility, meaning how do we cultivate this? By taking ownership of our actions and our decisions. And that also includes our mistakes.
Yes.
Because for us to make a mistake, we decided. So we should take ownership of our mistakes. If we've been found wanting by the law, we must be willing to pay for the punishment of what we've done. That is what it means. Because also being a godly man does not mean we'll not fall. We'll fall, but we'll recognize our mistakes and we'll stand again. That we can find in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13 and 14, where the Bible says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. And this takes us to be responsible. Maybe the fourth one is compassion, which is showing empathy, showing kindness towards others. We live in a world where people are ruthless, where people can just come point at a gun at you and kill you. We have people who can just bypass you. You know, sometimes I begin to think some people behave as if they are witch doctors or sangomas. They see you with a problem, they will not come and help you unless you approach them. That's not compassion. Compassion does not wait for you to be approached, but compassion recognizes a problem and you go and sort out a problem. Because if we should wait for people to approach us, then we and witch doctors and sangomas are behaving the same way. Then the fifth one is faithfulness, which is remaining committed to what we start. Remaining committed to God, remaining committed to God's ways. That is what a characteristic a godly man should embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And this we can capture it from Psalm 37, verse 3 to 4, where it says, trust in the Lord and do good.
Mm-hmm.
Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is one of my favorite verses, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
So, yes, because a godly man will not be impatient, because he knows if he delights in God, to give him the desires of his heart. I think those are some of the five. The rest we can find out as we go on in God's way.
I love that. I really love that. That's good. Because I'm looking at the things that you've listed, the characteristics that you've just shared there, and I'm thinking of how some of them, in fact, a lot of them have been twisted so much by the world. For example, you started off with humility, and sometimes that's kind of looked down on. It's almost like if you're humble, that means you are not confident. That means you
then you are weak.
Exactly. So it's looked at as though there's as a weakness rather than a strength, which is how the Bible looks at it. It's a strength to be humble. It actually takes more strength to be humble, you know, knowing what you're
doing.
That takes more strength than to pretend like I can do anything. I've got the power to do everything. And unfortunately, I've even seen us sometimes as Christians using the Bible. So we'll take a scripture like I can do all things. And it's almost like we forget that it ends with through Christ who strengthens
me.
You take the I can do all things and then you think I can do everything. And if I just set my mind to it, believe in myself and, you know, all the kind of so-called positive talk. And that completely is a deviation from what the Word of God actually says. And I also like what you said about responsibility, taking ownership of mistakes, because I think that's another thing that we sometimes feel like if I'm a godly man, I should not make mistakes. I cannot make mistakes, you know, because you've talked about integrity, you've talked about faithfulness and compassion. All those things almost suggest that this person cannot make mistakes. If I'm a man of integrity, how can I make a mistake? But no, if you do make a mistake, because you're a human being, take ownership of that, take responsibility, be accountable, and don't run away from those mistakes. So I really appreciate that. Now, when we're talking about men, you know, family men, how would you say that men can lead their families spiritually while still remaining humble as well as approachable? Is there a way that they can balance, you know, being a leader, but also being humble and approachable?
If you get to scripture and just look at how God brings out who a godly man is, for me, I see God is looking for people who can strike a balance.
Okay.
Because life is all about a balance. You shouldn't be too extreme. Yeah. Again, you should be below the bar. So one of the things which can help godly men to lead their families spiritually while remaining humble also and approachable is number one, by being a model of humility, which means they must demonstrate humility in their own lives, not just the ESA where they just say it on their mouth, but in their life, they don't show that, no, but it should be, they must be humble in their own lives. They must also acknowledge their weaknesses, limitations. Then people will know to say, okay, they are not pretending, they are human beings like me. And if they also have weaknesses and I have a weakness, I can approach them and they can help me where they had overcome that weakness. I can also be able to overcome that weakness. The second thing which they can do, it is by practicing active listening. Sometimes, you know, we are in a rush of listening in order to respond and not to just give an ear to somebody. Because some people, they really even do not want a solution from us. They just want to have an assurance that, okay, I'm not alone in this. There's somebody who is listening to what I'm going through. So active listening, it means to listen attentively to our family members or to your family. Godly man, and to seek to understand what is it which they need, what is their concern, and if you are able to help out, you help out that very problem. And people in your family will not name you these names here and there. They will know that, okay, this is my father. I may be able to approach him and actually express my deepest need. On this one, I have a testimony to share. Last year, I lost a family friend. She was female. And the challenge was that she fell pregnant. But because they had a breakdown in their family where parents cannot be approached, they feared to tell the parents to say she's pregnant.
Oh, no.
And because of that, she went now to seek advice from other friends who advised her to take some certain concoctions. And in the long run, she died.
Oh, no.
She sort of committed suicide. And that's how her life was lost, because there wasn't active listening, because she knew if she just say, I'm pregnant, they'll begin to scold her, they'll begin to tell her all these things. Oh. And in the end, that will happen. The third thing, which is the last thing which I can point out on how we can still become approachable while remaining spiritual, is by prioritizing family time. You know, we live in a world where we are always busy. We are always busy. And because of that, we find that there is breakdown in how families should be. And in how you as a godly man can lead your family. Because imagine you've knocked off late. You don't have time to have a devotion with your family. Mm-hmm. You don't have time to engage in spiritual things, to just bond and grow with your family. So if you really value the family, if you really value the growth of your family and the unity which is there, you should deliberately put it on your calendar. Spend quality time with your family. Engage in activities that will also promote spiritual growth and will promote the family to bond together. Sure.
That's good. That's good. So now when we, when we're talking about accountability, we touched on this a few minutes ago, but what role, let's focus a little bit more on that. What role would you say that accountability plays in becoming a godly man?
Well, when we talk about accountability from the word the accounts, which is you must take the cost, you must be willing to see what is being spent, what is not spent, and all that. So it means that as a godly man, the crucial role which you can play in becoming accountable is by providing support, which is having a network of brothers who can offer encouragement and support. Sometimes it cannot be you who should offer support, but you can point somebody to where the support can come from. And, and that is what it means to be accountable. I take, for instance, in Mark chapter 2, where there's that lame man who was born lame, and four men lifted him to take him to Jesus.
Yes.
And when they found a crowd of people, they had to go on top of the roof and lower the man.
Yeah.
They saw that, okay, they had needs, but also this man had needs. They knew they did not have a solution, but they could provide support and point the man to the solution. And that's how we can be accountable for the people who are around us and offer support. Number two is also by promoting transparency, which is sharing struggles and weaknesses with trusted friends. And by this, we can allow prayer and guidance to be part of us. So when we are transparent in how we are dealing with things, how we are dealing with issues with men, it makes people trust our accountability. And it also makes us not to have anything to hide with people. And people can even have trust in us and in what we are doing.
Yeah.
Then finally, fostering growth, which is receiving constructive feedback. When somebody has done something, we become objective. Even if we are arguing out a point, we are debating over thing, but having constructive views and views which will help to guide others, so that those who are looking at us, they'll be mentored, and those our peers, they can have confidence in us. Sure.
Beautiful. Now, how can godly men mentor younger generations in faith and character? I think this one is really important because there are so many voices telling men what they need to be, telling young boys what it means to be a man. And you just like you mentioned earlier about, you know, that lack of responsibility, because of that lack of responsibility, a lot of young men are growing up without fathers or without, you know, male leadership. And so how can godly men mentor younger generations in faith and in character so that the next generation can also have, you know, that kind of leadership and godly men?
Well, the first thing which I can point out is that every godly man should view himself as a mentor. Because if you do not view yourself as a mentor, then you make mistakes in that you think you are just alone, no one is looking up to you. Because even mentorship, you know, there's direct and indirect. There are those people who approach you, they consult you all the time and every time. And there are those who not approach you, but they really copy some things and they depend on you secretly and you don't know.
Yeah.
So you as a godly man, you should see yourself that I'm a mentor. And thus I must guard my life on how I lead it each and every time. And this begins with number one, you having a model which is Christ-like. You must have a Christ-like behavior, which means you must demonstrate the behavior of Christ in your own life, and you must provide positive examples to younger men so that they can be able to follow. You know, the world is filled with negative vices. So if we also as godly men, always when we are dealing with young people, we always point out their mistakes. We always give them that negative atmosphere.
Yeah.
They will not approach us, not trust us, because they know if I go to this one, they'll condemn me. I go to this one, they'll condemn me. And Jesus said, I have not come to condemn this world in John 3:17. But he who is denying the light is the one who is already condemned. So that's it. We must offer a Christ-like behavior. Number two is that we must share our experiences. You know, sometimes when we're dealing with the young people are an epic generation. They are people who want something which is experiential, something which is participatory, something which is actually, which is real. So if we begin to just cite things from what others have written, no, according to this, according to what these psychologists say, according to that, and you're not citing practical experiences, you're not sharing your own struggles, your own successes, your own valuable insights and guidance, young people will not trust if what you're saying is even real and practical. But if we share our own experiences as godly men, people will trust that actually what he's talking about is real. And if he overcame, I can also overcome. Mm. If he had struggles, I can also pass through struggles. And if he overcame, I can also overcome. And it does not mean that we cannot trust the Bible. Mm-hmm. But like we said, if we believe that God indeed is our guide and we walk in his word, it means we must walk in his word. His word must be practical in our life, such that young men and young women, they'll look at our lives and say, ah, the things in the Bible are real. And if a person applies them, they can really change their life. Like the way it changed this man's life, also my life can be changed. And finally, we're investing time and energy to build the people, to guide them, to support them, and to mentor them. You know, if the way young people are is that if we are not found where they are found, if they do not feel that we are interested in what they do, they will segregate themselves from us, and they will not want anything to do with us. And sometimes they'll call us old-fashioned because some of our ideas may not really be practical to what is happening around them.
Right.
So we must invest time to be found with them, to be there to support them. And by doing so, young people will feel that they are loved, they'll feel that they are cared for, and will win their trust in us. Sure.
Beautiful. Love that. Love that. I think some of the main takeaways that I've, the common thread throughout everything that you've shared this morning, I've noted, you know, that intentionality, that you can't be a godly man by mistake. You can't just fall into a godliness.
Yes.
You have to be intentional about it. And secondly, that your actions matter even more than your words. Your lifestyle, the way that you carry yourself, the way you conduct yourself, it actually matters more than the things that you say. And then finally, relationships. If I had to summarize what you've said, I think I would sum it into those. Relationships are important, because when you as the older man who's trying to mentor young people, you're just all about talking and not understanding, not trying to understand their side, not listening to the younger people, and not really, walking in their shoes to try and understand their challenges and their struggles and their world that they're living in, then it's just all talk. You seem not to know what you're talking about. And that immediately just ruins any chances that you might have had to make a positive impact. How would you wrap up our conversation for today before I let you go?
It's been an insightful conversation, and one which these principles we can emulate. For me, I view being a godly man is better than any other, because what the world offers is actually something which, if we embrace it, it can destroy us at the end. But the godliness which God imbues in every man and woman who decides to walk in his way, it's one which will build us. It's one which will sustain us, and it's one which will make us make a difference in our families, in the world, and in the community which we live in.
Amen. Amen. My elder, thank you so much for coming through this morning. Really appreciate your time and the insights that you've shared on what it means to be a godly man. God bless you.
Oh, thank you. God bless you too.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.